The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Lilo, award-winning designers of the world's best pleasure objects.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It is an unusually stormy day in Los Angeles. And unfortunately, our scheduled guest was Matilda Bernstein Sycamore, but she woke up today and she's quite sick. In fact, I'm sick as well. I have a cold, but she's sicker. We are definitely going to reschedule to have her on to talk about her book, The End of San Francisco, a Lambda Literary Award winner. And so I had basically a few hours this afternoon to put together a new show. And luckily, I scored a great guest for you. She's actually a returning guest, the only guest to appear now three times on the show. And one of the shows she appeared on is the most downloaded of all time. So trust me, she will not disappoint. Let me tell you all about her. Melina Lee Williams-Haas is an award-winning, critically acclaimed writer, actress, BDSM educator, and storyteller. She is the author of The Toy Bag Guide to Taboo Play, co-author of Playing Well with Others, Your Guide to Discovering, Exploring, and Navigating the Kink, Leather, and BDSM Communities. Her perspectives on BDSM are frequently sought after by news sources such as the New York Times, the Huffington Post, Newsweek, Essence, Ebony. She's a frequent guest expert on Dan Savage's Savage Lovecast, and she has delightfully filled in at the very last minute. She is calling from Austria, where it is 2 a.m. Welcome, Molina.
Thank you. This is my favorite time in Austria because all the Austrians are asleep.
Okay. Well, we'll get to Austria in a minute. So you have been on my show before, and we have talked about various aspects of BDSM on this show, but I like to bring people into the conversation rather than leaving them sort of sitting outside of it. So I want to go back to the very basics. We're going to talk about your extraordinary relationship. But first, in order to do that, we need to define a few terms.
Sure.
So how do you define dominance and submission?
My personal definition, and I always want to make this clear because a lot of what we do as kinky folks is call our own shots. And so anything I have to say about relationship stuff is based on my experience and how I live my life. It's not a thing you can really apply to anyone else. So for me, I try to keep it simple. I consider dominance and submission to be a situation where you have people of equal value as humans who are involved in an unequal power dynamic. So that's not to say that one person is intrinsically less valuable than the other. Absolutely the opposite. Both people are both wonderful, steady partners to one another. The twist here is that one person says to the other, you know what, I'm going to do what you want me to do because I like it of my own free will. I'm digging it. I have parameters for what that looks like. I have restrictions and boundaries. I have things I need for you to do for me to feel safe. And I will do whatever I can to help you feel safe. And let's go and live this life. So that's my very basic description of it.
And how does this differ from sort of going to a play party or an event for the weekend and doing a scene where one person is the top and one person is the bottom?
Yeah. The difference for us is that we do this as part of our lives. It's not as though we stop, you know, it's not as though at some point I wake up, you know, on Tuesday afternoon and I'm like, I'm done with this. I'm going to go out and do what the hell I want. It's a permanent fixture in our lives that we have this unequal dynamic. And that's because, first and foremost, I love it. It turns me on. The other reason is that it works really with my partner to live that kind of lifestyle. And so we do that consensually. There's no beginning and end to the relationship. It's not a time delineated thing insofar as you do at a party or at an event or even someone that you're dating. There are usually more restrictions because you are just getting to know one another. You are trying to figure out how stuff is going to go. So you're not necessarily like, okay, great, fine, I'll do whatever you want, let's go. Our relationship is one where we figured out each other's basic moral supports, how we look at the world, how we view each other, and said, okay, this is all in line. We have very similar goals in life, and therefore we trust one another enough to jump into this pool and swim around. And let me stress that I said each other, this is not a one-way thing. I have to trust him as much as he trusts me because it's a power exchange. And I hope that people grasp that language. It's not a power coup d'etat. We're talking about people giving and taking. It's a mutually beneficial symbiotic relationship.
And so for folks who know the world of BDSM, you are a very public figure and very outspoken, but you took that to sort of a whole new level when you married your husband, and then because of who he is in the world, he was profiled in the New York Times. It was actually, there was this story, which was called A Composer and His Wife, Creativity Through Kink. At least that was the online title. And the story about the two of you, which was like a sort of a straightforward profile story, appeared as a featured story on the homepage of New York Times.
Yeah, it was unbelievably stunning.
You were not, neither of you were shy about describing your relationship and how kinky it is and how non-traditional it is. So coming out as kinky on the New York Times, no big deal.
like you do.
But I want to say that your husband is Georg Friedrich Haas, and this is a quote from the New York Times, whose powerfully emotional, politically charged music and explorations of microtonality make him one of the world's leading composers. And so... Yeah. So he's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and it's funny because among my circle in my world, people are like, oh, you have a dom, that's great, yay you. And then a tiny fraction of my friends were like, wait a second, who is this? You're the composer? Oh my God, blah, blah. You know, so yeah, he is. He's like one of the more influential living composers working today. So that's kind of not a small step for him to come out publicly as being kinky. And it's been an ongoing process, and it's been really challenging. And more than challenging, it's also been really rewarding. When we first started seeing one another, he was a little bit lower profile. He had some issues he needed to resolve with how much this might impact his family. And then once those issues had been worked through, he said, you know what, part of what I want to do in my life is to be out. Because when we first met, he was 60 and had waited his entire life to live authentically as someone who was fulfilling these desires that he'd had for many years, but had suppressed and shunned because, of course, like most people, he was taught that they were wrong and bad, and that he was sick for wanting to be dominant, for wanting to be sadistic, for wanting to, you know, spank someone and be the boss of them and all of those things. So part of his motivation for coming out was to be able to say to other folks, look, it's really difficult to live a life where you are not true to yourself. Don't do what I did. Don't wait until you're 60. You know, go for it as soon as you can, because your life is so much more fulfilling.
And what's amazing is that he picked one of the most out kinky people in the world, didn't he?
Do you know what's hilarious though, Tristan, is that previous to my relationship with him, every other dominant partner with whom I'd been aligned was not as out as I was, and or had some restriction that they wanted to apply to that public exposure, right? As out as I was, you know, even up to my last partner, he, for his own reasons, wanted to anonymize our relationship. So he had his own degree of being out. My degree of being out was not in line with his, which is fine. But what that meant was that he had a pseudonym in my life. So there were no pictures of us together. There was not me naming his name. There were details that had to be anonymized in order to protect him and his folks from unwanted attention. And I accept that because that is absolutely everyone's right to privacy as much as they possibly can have. So when I first met Georg and he said, you know, in the next couple of years, I really want to come out. It's very important to me to be public about who I am. And I was like, great, because I'm already there. So that works out well. Of course, I didn't know at the time that the coming out would be, predicated with a article in a German music blog that was then picked up by the Times as a story, and then they ran with it. So that was much larger than I could have ever anticipated back a few years ago. So it's kind of amazing. And we were treated very well by them. I think what impressed most people was the fairness and objectivity and compassion within the piece. And that is something for which we're both incredibly grateful.
Yes. Well, we are going to tweet out the link to that piece, which is pretty remarkable for those of us who have been doing this work for a very, very, very long time and have seen how the mainstream media has represented kink relationships. They had a nice, even hand on this piece, and they didn't, it wasn't salacious or weird at all.
Not at all, which is woo-hoo-hoo, awesome.
Okay, we got to take our first commercial break. One thing you may not know about Melina is she used to hold the title of International Ms. Leather.
It's true.
And International Ms. Leather and Ms. Boot Black 2016 are coming up very fast. It's April 14th to the 17th. I'm going to be emceeing some of the activities there. You have to pre-register. There's no registration on site, but go to imsl.org to find out all about it. Let us take a break and hear from our great sponsors. And when we come back, I'm going to ask all the questions and get all the dirt that the New York Times was too shy to print. That's what I'm going to do. So stay with us. More with Melina when we return. Hey, everyone. It's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Hi, everyone. It's Tristan.
In a loving relationship, a pleasure shared is a pleasure doubled. Lilo, the world's leading pleasure brand, has a gorgeous selection of luxury pleasure products for couples, each one perfectly designed to ensure both partners get the most from sex. Lilo's remote-controlled pleasure products feature an exclusive technology called Sense Motion. You can control the vibrations of the massager by simply tilting and moving the remote. It's incredibly intimate, even from a distance. All Lilo's luxury couples toys are waterproof, rechargeable, quiet, and absolutely beautiful. Try the best-selling Tiani 24K for the most sensuous shared pleasure you've ever experienced, or the Lilo Smart Wand for the most powerful all-over body massage of your life. Go to Lilo.com or any good adult retailer now to see how Lilo can bring you closer together.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. If you were listening last week, you know that we welcomed a brand new sponsor to the show, the Pleasure Chest. And yay! One of the great things, yay for the Pleasure Chest, Molina and I have both taught there. One of the great things about the Pleasure Chest is they have free sex education classes in all their locations. And I want to tell you about what's coming up. Wednesday, March 16th is a bunch of things. In Chicago, it's Blowjobs 201 with Ash. In New York, it's G Marks the Spot with Jess. And in LA, it's The Ultimate O with Sarah. And then Sunday, March 20th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., it's Buckle Up, Strap On Basics with Allison Moon, who has been a guest on the show. That should be a great one. So to find out about all these classes and more, go to pleasurechest.com. And we thank Pleasure Chest for all their support. So I'm talking today with Melina Lee Williams-Haas, who told us before the break about how this New York Times article came out, and I promised you I would dig a little deeper than the New York Times did. So here's what I want to know. I want to know, for people who don't know anything about dominance and submission, how this works in specifics for you and your husband, Georg. Like, what does a day look like? What does going out to dinner with the two of you look like? How does it work?
I will tell you, the first and most hilarious thing that people will say is that if they observe us for any period of time, their assumption would be, based on what they're seeing, that I am the dominant person. They see me sort of, herding him to and from appointments, making sure he's doing this and that, and kind of, bossing him around like a very agitated Australian shepherd, like nipping at the heels of the flock. And what's interesting to me is that folks who know DS relationships from the inside out will frequently tell you that their relationships look from the outside as though the tables were turned. Because part of what my submission to him is specifically is to make his life as smooth and easy as possible, and to make sure that the distractions of everyday life are not in his face. I mean, he is a composer and has the artistic temperament to a T, with all that entails, both good and bad. The sort of apocryphal story of how Albert Einstein had in his closet the exact same suit repeated 7 times. So that he would not have to think about getting dressed, because if he did, disaster would strike and he would go out in a striped shirt, plaid jacket, and a polka dot pants. So from his end, things like paying bills and getting groceries and eating at all during the day are distractions to what he's doing, which is constantly turning over in his head new ideas for music and composition. When, of course, he's not thinking about perverted sexual fantasies. That's a substantial slice of the pie as well. But while he is composing, things like remembering to eat fall by the wayside. So it's my job to harass him and say, "Sir, you know, it's 2 o'clock. May I bring you some lunch?" And then when he says, "No, I'm not hungry," to bring him the lunch anyway.
Got it.
And so that's when people are like, "Well, how are you the submissive if you're bringing him lunch when he said you don't want it?" I said, "Because I have been observant enough to know, and I am empathetic enough to know, that a lot of what he's doing and saying is sort of on the surface, and it's not really what he needs." And so the second level is to anticipate his needs in a way that makes it so that he doesn't have to think and fret too much about it. So a lot of it is 50s era housewife shit, right? Making sure that there's dinner on the table, making sure that his laundry is done, making sure that our travel is booked. We travel so much. I'd say we are at least half of the year not at home in New York, minimum, probably more. So I need to make sure that everything is taken care of, that our flights are booked, that he has a seat that he wants, that we have carriage to and from the airport, that our receipts are all tracked, that we have contact with the people on the ground in whatever country we're going to be landing in, that his bags are packed with everything he needs before we leave, up to and including his portable coffee machine, because he's got a serious caffeine addiction. So, you know, and I have to make sure I've taken the right coffee machine, because there's one for Europe and then one for when we're traveling in the States. So there's a lot of balls that have to be juggled in the air. And part of what my thrill is managing all of those. It's a neat hat trick to be able to run someone's entire life and then inspire them to create art, which as an artist myself, this is magnificent for me to see that impact happening, to see him turn to me. And part of what he does that is so fulfilling for me is constantly acknowledge my service. And as we grow together, it's something that he notices more and more. You know, I mean, the fact that he, after at one point I wasn't at home and he ran out of toilet paper in the bathroom and realized that that had never happened in the time that we were together. And it's the smallest, tiniest thing like that that no one will ever notice. But he's like, "I never run out of toilet paper because she always refills it. I never run out of toothpaste because that's always there. I always have the snacks I love in the house because she takes note of what I love to eat and makes sure that those things are present." And so part of what I do is to think to myself, what would make his life more awesome? Because I have a pleasing personality. And so for me, that's really awesome. And so that works out well together. You know, there's so many people who are pleasers, who are with folks who don't appreciate it or don't acknowledge it. And so they can develop this martyr complex and feel like they're being taken advantage of. And the transparency of our relationship allows me to be acknowledged in my service in a way that feels nurturing and inspires me to serve even more. And some of that service, yeah, it does look very bossy. It does look so much like I'm telling him what to do. And that's because that's what he needs and that's what he requires of me. And he gives me the leeway and the room to do so, and actually loves it and appreciates it when I am ahead of him when it comes to what he needs.
Okay, so you touched on this a little bit, but I think people think of submissives as the more passive person or the person who defers to the dominant. But knowing you in real life, you are very bossy.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that? I mean, do you ever lock horns and have a disagreement about the way to do something, for example?
What's interesting is that when we were first together, we did have some conflict, but it was a DS level conflict. He would say, "You know, I want to order this for dinner." And I would say, "You know, sir, actually, I think it would be better if we did X, Y, and Z, and here's why." And he would say, no, this is what I want. And I would say, okay, I have let my opinion be known. And then when the shit hit the fan and he saw that actually my choice in things was the better choice, he would say, "Hey, you know, maybe I can leave that decision up to you." And this is something that had to grow over time, right? So it's not as though poof, one day everything is super awesome and everyone understands everyone else. I am a bossy person mostly because, and this is going to sound incredibly arrogant and I'm sure people are going to roll their eyes, but I have invested a lot of time in my life in being right. And a lot of that rightness is based on my own trial and error. And as my partner, Georg, was new to BDSM and new to kink. And you can imagine if after, I mean, he was 16 when we first met. Imagine after like 4 decades of longing for this thing that you can't have, suddenly you are dating like one of the most well-known perverts in the world. And you're like, I'm going to get all the stuff right now. We're going to have sex parties every weekend. It's going to be fantastic. And I'm like, ho, one moment, sir. I know that this is exciting. Kid in a candy store. This is super great. But please keep in mind, I've been doing this for a while. I know that taking your time actually is as agonizing as it might seem, is preferable in many situations. And if, for example, you want to have an orgy with like, you know, a gangbang and all this hot sex and stuff, that's difficult from a lot of perspectives. Emotionally, it's difficult. Logistically, it's tough. It's going to take some time. Yes, we could just run out to a sex club and try to find 10 random people, but here are the drawbacks to that. And so we did have a lot of instances where emotionally his desires were difficult for me to fulfill because I could see after, you know, 18 plus years in the scene, I'm like, this is not the most optimal way to go about it. I just see how people burn out when they reach for the candy jar with both hands and stuff it all in at once. And so the first year of our relationship was him being very frustrated that he was not getting everything he wanted all the time. The second year of our relationship has been him realizing, wow, you know what? Actually, she does know what she's talking about. And when we do have our encounters and our play dates with other friends, he does see that the suggestions that I made early on about waiting, about taking the time, about getting to know people, ultimately were preferable and ultimately pay off. So a lot of that is trial and error. A lot of it is just him learning to trust me. And a lot of that is me learning to say, he needs to learn this lesson on his own. Some of the things I can try to protect him from, and there's a lot of stuff I'm just going to have to let him go and explore on his own. So there's a give and a take, but no, there's never the butting of heads in that sort of, I'm going to do this, not care what you say, fuck you. No, you're going to, you know, fighting. Because that's not in our contract. You know, I absolutely can give him information about stuff. I can speak to him as strongly as I care to. This is something that he accepts about me, which is great. I've had partners who have been put off by my aggressive speech, but he is a very straightforward individual himself. And the more I express myself directly, the more he is able to express himself directly to me and trust me for the first time in his life. It's the first relationship he's had where he's able to be 100% himself. Mm. And that's saying a lot when you're on your fourth marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're going to take another break. I want to remind you folks that I am keynoting at the luncheon at the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom's Consent Summit, which is an entire day full of panels and discussions about consent. It takes place at the Center for Sex Positive Culture on April 23rd in Seattle. And you can go to ncsfreedom.org and go to the link off the homepage to the Consent Summit, or we're going to tweet out the link to how to get tickets. And make sure your ticket includes the luncheon because that's where I'm speaking. I'm also speaking on a panel later in the day. And then I'm headed to Portland, April 24th and 25th. I'll be teaching at Shebop in Portland. And you can go to sheboptheshop.com for all the information on my 2 workshops and how to pre-register for them, which I recommend. So stay with us. We are going to talk more with Molina when we get back. Hey, everyone. It's Tristan. Listen. There is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, The Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. In a loving relationship, a pleasure shared is a pleasure doubled. Lilo, the world's leading pleasure brand, has a gorgeous selection of luxury pleasure products for couples, each one perfectly designed to ensure both partners get the most from sex. Lilo's remote-controlled pleasure products feature an exclusive technology called Sense Motion. You can control the vibrations of the massager by simply tilting and moving the remote. It's incredibly intimate, even from a distance. All Lilo's luxury couples toys are waterproof, rechargeable, quiet, and absolutely beautiful. Try the best-selling Tiani 24K for the most sensuous shared pleasure you've ever experienced, or the Lilo Smart Wand for the most powerful all-over body massage of your life. Go to Lilo.com or any good adult retailer now to see how Lilo can bring you closer together.
No fluff, no lies, just real women talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
Sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
A weekly podcast with Dawn.
I just masturbated.
And Dylan.
Let's talk about the elusive clit.
Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and at sexgetsreal.com.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, mark your calendars for the summer. It's going to be a busy one. July 22nd to 23rd, I am keynoting at the Poly Dallas Millennium Second Annual Symposium Designer Relationships in Dallas, Texas. They've announced some of the speakers, which include Joe Court, James Wadley, Mark Michaels and Patricia Johnson, Ignacio Rivera, and more. And early bird registration is now open, polydallasmillennium.com. And right after that, August 4th and 5th, I will be teaching two of my sex educator boot camps as pre-cons to Woodhull's Sexual Freedom Summit. So we're going to tweet out that link, but you should sign up for my boot camps. You should sign up for Woodhull Sexual Freedom Summit, which has some incredible programming. They're about to announce speakers and presentations, and it's going to be a really good one. So I hope to see you there. So we've been talking with Molina Williams-Haas about her fantastic relationship. And
I still laugh when someone says Williams-Haas. I'm like, oh my God, that's me.
That's your name now. Okay, so you touched on this a little bit when you went into the orgy, started talking about orgies, but I want to know what sex has to do with all of this. Like, what? So I've got the daily living kind of thing of you kind of being working as a kind of a manager and a personal assistant, and also his confidant and his emotional support. And so where does the sex fly in there?
Sex fly in there. On flappy, drippy wings. What's interesting is that for me, a lot of the basis for my sexual satisfaction is actually the service. And I know this is going to sort of trip some people's triggers and blow some people's minds, but in the same way that people can fetishize feet and get off on toes, or people can fetishize boobs and just seeing a pair of tits is all they need for the day. And people have fetishes for latex or for rope. I distinctly have a very core fetish for service. And so part of what is erotic for me is running his life and making sure that everything around him is awesome. And at the end of that day, I'm like, I could just like lay back and have a cigarette and feel the afterglow just from having cooked dinner and seeing him push back from the table at the end of a good meal and be delighted that he had that. So that's my core basis. So actual sexual intercourse stuff is like, oh, great, of course, yay, sex, that's great. He is a very sexual person. Again, for the first time in his life, having someone that he can talk to about everything he's always had on his mind and been very afraid to share, and for good reason. It's not easy for people. So he is like on fire all the time. And part of what's interesting about being submissive and being sexually submissive is it doesn't really matter if I'm horny or not. And this is actually something that people think is going to be really awesome until they have to deal with it. Because he, bless his heart, and I love him for it, wants me to be happy and satisfied sexually. And so for a great many people, what that looks like is that their partner is also initiating sex and taking the lead and displaying rampant, flagrant emotion. But that's not always where I am. My mind is often focused on, oh my gosh, I'll do the laundry. Oh my gosh, is the fresh direct order going to get here while I'm still out running errands? And, oh, I have to make dinner. And, oh, I forgot this thing. And I have to pick up his shirts from the, you know. So my focus is not necessarily on those things. And what's been very interesting is my having to kind of talk him into saying, look, I'll catch up with you sexually. If you're horny and you're like, I want a blowjob, and I'm like over here on the internet, like updating my blog, and you feel weird because you want me to want it too and everything else, I'm like, just do what you need to do. I'll catch up and I'll be hot and horny soon. It might just be a few minutes behind you because you are on a different track than I am. And that is kind of a selfish way to live, to think, well, what if my partner doesn't want to have sex right now? What if she's not really horny? And so that actually has caused some interesting, not conflict, but interesting gaps in communication. And finally, I think he's starting to get it. Like I said, it has taken a while. Look, if it, as a submissive, think of the sex in the same way you think of your supper. It's in my mind, those are both incredibly important and valuable services that I provide for you. If you are served a meal that has too much salt in it, you're not going to eat it despite yourself. You're not going to sit there and choke it down. If you're waiting for me to get horny and I'm like, look, I'm a sexual submissive over here, you can take me whenever you want and I'll do whatever you want with enthusiasm and joy. Absolutely. But it's really going to kind of be on you to initiate that. And that is a mixed blessing, I think, for a lot of folks. And it's been kind of fascinating to see how he has grown in that direction and how challenging it is for me. Because quite frankly, like anything that we submit to in our lives, there's going to be sometimes you're just not in the mood. And it might sound kind of oogie for people, but let's think of it this way. Everyone I know who's a parent, everyone I know who has pets, everyone I know who has a job has a point in those responsibilities where they're like, I would rather do anything but deal with this right now. But you do it because you're committed to it and because ultimately it's for the best. And that is the same in our relationship. There's some days where I'm like, oh my God, I absolutely positively do not want to be sticky with bodily fluids right now. I got shit to do, but this is what he needs. So I'm going to do it because that's part of my service. And then, you know, halfway into it, I'm like, oh, wait, this is sex. Sex is awesome. Fantastic. I'm going to have some orgasms while I'm here. Great. Thank you, sir. And then afterwards, everyone feels better. You got the good sex chemicals kicking in. You've had the closeness and the togetherness and you rebond and all that's really good. So ultimately, it can be a little bit wonky at times, but the end result is that we're closer and we have a pretty fucking awesome life.
And have you read the book Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski?
I have not.
Okay, so
should I read this?
Yeah, you should read this. So what's really interesting is she has written a popular book that covers some of the most significant sex research out there, and it's quite current. And especially dealing with women's desire being a responsive desire rather than a spontaneous desire. So rather than come home and want to rip your clothes off and don't care about anything else. She argues that many people, men and women, but especially women, can have a responsive desire, where which you described really nicely as he sort of approaches you and you catch up. is like the exact way that Emily would describe what responsive desire looks like. So it's really interesting to see the parallels that you're talking about about what happens when. When everything kicks in and you're like, oh yeah, I'm having sex. I'm really liking this. Right? But I wasn't thinking of it like 10 minutes ago at all. No, like it was not on my radar.
And it's funny because I'm like, you know, I'm dealing with someone who's basically like a horny teenager all over again. And here I am like 46 going like, well, do I even need to jerk off today? I don't know.
The perimenopause is upon us.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Like my uterus is like, I'm going to take a vacation for 2 months. I'll see you in July.
So one of the things you are doing in Europe is he's debuting a new piece of music or pieces of music that were written for you, about you, inspired by you. Tell me about that.
Yes. So the he gets commissioned to write music fairly frequently. He's very blessed that way and very fortunate that way. It's pretty cool. And so once he's commissioned to write a piece, the parameters are pretty open. It's length of time, size of orchestra, combination, orchestra, chorus, whatever. And what happened was he was commissioned to write this piece and it was going to be combined with another extant piece. I think it was some other Mozart piece that he was going to be aligning his music with. And so he was hemming and hawing about what he was going to write. Parallel to that, we were getting ready for our wedding, and he thought he was going to surprise me with an orchestra piece at our wedding. So you can imagine anyone who's planned a wedding, having someone tell you that they're planning on surprising you with something at the wedding, I'm like, but jokingly I said, I don't even know what piece of yours you could possibly use as a wedding piece, because his music is not really cheerful.
A little dark. It's a little dark.
A lot of it's very dark, specifically so. He's drawing from some really emotionally dark stuff. It's very moody and very atmospheric and yada yada. And so I was like, I can't even imagine like what the Georg Friedrich Haas wedding music would sound like. Which of course he was like, oh yeah, fine. And so we decided he was actually going to write a piece for our wedding. And so he wrote basically the orchestral sketch for what then became this piece that's now going to be premiering in Munich. And when he played at the wedding, we had a chamber orchestra and they played two pieces of it. The first was sort of the before piece and then the second was the after piece. So here's Georg before Melina, here's Georg after Melina. And what was really compelling about it was that the first piece was very moving, very touching, very unsettling, which doesn't necessarily seem like it's wedding music. But once the second piece started and it was so bright and so mystical and so lovely, and it had this complete sensation of this soaring, upward spiraling, orgasmic joy to it, you know. And there were people at our wedding who were sitting in the audience who were not contemporary music fans at all. And they're sitting there going, oh my God, how long is this going to be? What is this going to be about? Who afterwards came up and said, I had tears in my eyes. I'm not even sure what I just heard, but you can tell that there's something so profoundly emotionally uplifting about the second piece that you wrote. And so he then spent the next few months composing and fleshing out these themes and creating the three pieces for Melina, which is what's being premiered in Munich next week. And then in Berlin, in fact.
So romantic. Okay, we've got to take another break. Coming up next, but don't you all want someone to write an opera about you or for you? That would be nice. That would be nice. Okay, coming up next is the Ask Tristan segment. Melina's going to stick around. We've got a listener question that involves BDSM, and it's from our listener hotline. So stay with us. That's what's coming up next.
Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. In a loving relationship, a pleasure shared is a pleasure doubled. Lilo, the world's leading pleasure brand, has a gorgeous selection of luxury pleasure products for couples, each one perfectly designed to ensure both partners get the most from sex. Lilo's remote-controlled pleasure products feature an exclusive technology called Sense Motion. You can control the vibrations of the massager by simply tilting and moving the remote. It's incredibly intimate, even from a distance. All Lilo's luxury couples toys are waterproof, rechargeable, quiet, and absolutely beautiful. Try the best-selling Tiani 24K for the most sensuous shared pleasure you've ever experienced, or the Lilo Smart Wand for the most powerful all-over body massage of your life. Go to Lilo.com or any good adult retailer now to see how Lilo can bring you closer together.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with Melina Williams-Haas, and I just want to remind people that Sex Out Loud is a proud supporter of the Southwest Sexual Health Alliance. They have a sexceptional lecture series happening in Austin, Texas. Go to swsexualhealth.com to check out more. Hey, we've got a caller on the line, which is really exciting and wow. And so we're going to go right to it. JD in Virginia.
Hello.
Hey, greetings. What's up?
Greetings. Hello, what's up? Hey, Melina. Hey, Tristan.
Hi.
I've become a big fan of your husband since reading about him and listening to his music. And, he's amazing. I would have many questions because I'm a writer as well, and I sometimes try to juggle my own kink proclivities. Have been in BDSM for many years into my art and all that. But I was very curious if you or your husband had noticed a change in behavior of people around you since the article came out, whether in the kink scene or outside of the kink scene, or if that has even been an issue at all.
Yeah.
Just curious. Great
question. That's a really good question.
Great question.
Yeah. Thank you. I will say in the kink scene, 99.9% of the reactivity has been people being stunned that we were treated so well in the Times, and people being kind of psyched that people who have very transparent lives and pretty solid reputations are the ones that have been picked to be these ambassadors, essentially. The flip side of that is in the alternative sexuality, in the contemporary music scene. In the States, among artists and composers and musicians and all of that, the huge overwhelming reaction has been people saying, wow, good for you for coming out. And you'll notice that the head of the music department at Columbia, Georg's boss, Susan, was quoted in the Times article. And that kind of support is amazing. Let us also state for the record, Columbia does have, I believe, the longest continuously running BDSM education group of any college
for
and university.
By and for students.
So they're kind of up front there. But it is a lot to say that the response in the States has been, hey, you know what? That's pretty cool. Of course, there's some people who are like, ah, TMI, who wants to know about your sex life? But part of his mission in life is, of course, to talk about that and to talk about, as you say, the intersection between your life and your work, because of course his music is informed by his sexuality. Of course his music is informed by his childhood. Of course his music is informed by his political beliefs. So to create a separation there would be artificial as far as he's concerned. There have been, of course, some detractors and some people who have written some very harsh criticism and critiques. For me, it's the same old, same old. It's people who are scandalized by the fact that we are an interracial power exchange dynamic relationship. People don't like that. They're people who are upset because they feel as though he is a white man, is just sort of mirroring this terrible history of racism and slavery in the U.S. And I understand those points of view. And as I said in the article, it's really unfortunate that people would assume that because of our racial makeup, we are then required to deny ourselves the reality of who we are. That is not at all how we want to be. And what I told him and what we have seen is the responses that we have got from other musicians and other composers especially, who have written to him, who have sent him messages on Facebook, who have sent him emails, who have come up to him at concerts and said, thank you for doing what you are doing. Maybe that means that someday I can be who I am more fully. And that alone makes it worth any amount of hate mail.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Well, cheers. And it gives many of us further confidence to at least be more ourselves within, whether you're a vanilla sitting or a kink setting. It's inspiring for others like myself. And I'm pretty out there. I'm about as out there as you can almost get, but still there's this vanilla side of me that, maybe hasn't quite synced up the two sides, as it were.
Hopefully they will. If that's something you're seeking out, hopefully that will be something that you could achieve if you care to do so.
Yeah, I do. I do care. I'm working on it.
Awesome. But,
thank you.
Thanks
so
for
very
the
much.
Call, JD.
Thank
really
you for calling.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. All right.
Ciao. Bye.
So you just touched on this in your answer, and then we've got another question from Twitter. Polly Dallas says, as a black woman, how do you celebrate and liberate your body when others fetishize it?
You know, there's so many answers to that, and I need to stress, because I always need to stress this, that I can only give the answer that works for me. I am absolutely 100% not speaking for any other black woman. I do not speak for black women in general, obviously. For me, what I try to do is to focus on my own choices. I don't have any control over how other people see me or fetishize me. The only control that I have is how I live my life, how I present my thoughts and ideas, and how I am when I wake up in the morning and I go to bed at night. And what's most important to me is that I live my life as authentically as possible, because I really do believe that even if I'm doing something that's controversial, that's disturbing, that's awkward, that's difficult, as long as I can look myself in the mirror and I can look into the eyes of anyone about whom I care deeply and love and say, this is who I am and this is who I need to be. And manifesting this Melina as she is today is the best thing I can do for myself and for the world. Fuck the rest of it. Let these people go and do the fetishizing. Let people have their confusion or their aggravation or their anger. They're absolutely 100% entitled to it. I am not entitled to let them live rent-free in my head and my heart. I refuse to let myself be squashed down and stomped on because of other people's concerns. And sometimes that can seem very selfish, and sometimes that can seem very thoughtless. But I think when you sit down and think about it and you say, you know what, I need to at some point in my life declare an absolute fuckrupsy on worrying about what the hell other people think. Because then what am I going to do? I'm going to hesitate and pause and wait and see how someone else's opinion impacts my life. I don't have that kind of time. Life is too short as it is. So my response to that is I let them do what they're doing and I do me, because that's all I can do. I'm not going to restrain myself because I might fit into someone else's fetishistic ideal. Great for them. Enjoy. I'm still loving my life.
Words to live by, people. Thank you so much, Melina. We're out of time. We're out of time. And that was such a good wrap-up.
I can't believe it.
Okay, I'm Melina like, Williams.
One more hour.
Melina Williams Haas is always making trouble somewhere. You can find out online at melina.com. You can follow her on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Melina. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of this show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guests will be contributors to the incredible book that came out last year, Coming Out Like a Porn Star. The book is edited by Jiz Lee, and we will have contributors reading their pieces, including Triple X star James Darling and Milka Halili Orbisedo. I wanted to get that right. Okay, so those two will definitely be on, James and Milka, and maybe a few more surprise guests. So you're going to find me same time, same place, 8 p.m. Pacific. Nope, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And then until then, check out my facebook.com/AskTristan, my Twitter at Tristan Taramino, the show's Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. Hey, I finally got on Instagram. Aren't I cool?
Yay.
I'm at Tristan Taramino on Instagram. And you know there's going to be basically dessert, dogs, and butt plugs. So that's what I can guarantee you. And in the meantime, what a great conversation we had. I hope this has sparked great conversations for you so you can, over the weekend and in your life, talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.